Hi, I'm Nathan Ryder, and welcome to the Viva Survivors podcast, where I talk to PhD graduates about their research, their Viva, and life after the PhD.
This is episode 5, and I'm talking with Dr. Ben Liberson, who graduated recently from the University of Liverpool with a PhD in microbial ecology. He now works as a postdoc in electrical engineering at Liverpool and runs the popular website Literature Review HQ.
Ben, tell me a bit about your research then. How did you get into that?
Okay, it's kind of difficult to remember exactly how I got into it. So I finished my undergraduate degree and I really liked the subject, which was microbiology. So I just started looking around for PhDs, and I found one that looked interesting, which was called the ecology of Staphylococcus aureus, which is a bacterium that lives in people's noses of all places. And the project looked interesting, went for the interview, and yeah, that's basically how I got into it. And it was all really very, very focused around something that I enjoyed doing, that I enjoyed learning about.
What made you want to do a PhD after your undergrad?
I wanted to carry on doing what I was doing there. I enjoyed learning about the subject so much, and as you go through your undergraduate course, you know, you start getting more independent in terms of writing more independent essays and things like that, and doing more independent work in the labs. And I just enjoyed it more and more as I went through. So it was kind of the next logical thing. And the other aspect of it is, as well, that I always joke about, is I just don't think I wanted to leave university. I wasn't ready to get a proper job, so I thought I'd better go for a PhD.
I can relate to that, actually. Yeah. You're onto a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What sort of things did you do during your PhD then? So you mentioned, I'm not going to try and repronounce it, actually. You mentioned what, yeah, if you could, that would be great in a second. But what was research like for you? What things did you have to do as part of your research?
Okay, so I was a lab rat, basically. I was in the lab all the time. What I was interested in was bacterial communities in healthy people's noses. So I was interested in one bacterium in particular, which was Staphylococcus aureus. So it's the thing that causes MRSA, that kind of, you know, causes nasty infections in hospital, yeah, that kind of stuff. I was kind of interested in the fact that this nasty, nasty, nasty organism lives in people, you know, all the time, and they're perfectly healthy. But it doesn't just live on its own, it lives in a community with loads of other bacteria. So I wanted to see what was going on in healthy people. So basically what that entailed was kind of asking people very, very nicely if I can, or if they can swab their own noses for me, get me a nice sample, and then I can see what bacteria grew there and then do loads of different experiments with them to see how they interact and try and build up this picture of what's going on in what's quite a dynamic bacterial community. So,
wow.
Yeah, so always in the lab, sampling, doing experiments, growing bacteria, all that kind of stuff.
Ballpark figure, how many samples did you have to go through during your PhD?
I sampled 60 different people, and that gave me several hundred different strains of bacteria.
Wow.
So there's a lot of juggling around kind of conical flasks and test tubes and all that kind of thing.
And what was the main sort of results that you got from your research?
So the main results were that some bacteria are actually kick Staph aureus, the nasty one, out of the community. They don't like to live with it, and they can actually get rid of it in some respects, which was quite nice. You know, it's a nice result to find, you know, that, yeah, maybe some way of somehow like a probiotic drink, you know, like the Actimel and stuff you drink, you can change your intestinal flora if you wanted, or add good bacteria. There may be some way of doing that in the hospital setting with with bacteria in your nose. So that was the main thing. But it's never as clear cut as that, you know, especially with a PhD.
Yeah.
You know, it's never always a clean ending. There's lots of other things to follow up there.
Yeah. In a few minutes, we'll come on to what you've done after your PhD. But I guess we've covered your PhD in about 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Let's fast forward towards the end when you'd submitted and your viva was coming up.
Yeah.
So what sort of things did you do to prepare for your viva?
Well, I was working at the time. I submitted my thesis, and then a week later I was working as a postdoc. And I found it very, very difficult to prepare, really. You know, I didn't have time during the day because I was working at night. I would really just try and read back through the thesis, really try and look through papers that I'd referenced heavily and papers of my external examiner. But I didn't do that much, certainly not as much as I planned to do. It was mainly trying to calm myself down. I think that's the only thing I really did beforehand, you know, just kind of read enough to make sure that I wasn't stressing about it too much. I mean, because I've been working stuff for 4 years, I've been writing it for more than 6 months. I hadn't forgotten it. I just hadn't forgotten it. And it was clear when it wasn't clear when I read it. I still felt like I had to know more, but I couldn't really yet bring myself to read it properly because it was such a big deal. I was just trying to read it, but it was difficult, and I didn't really do that much preparation from that respect.
Okay. How long did you have from when you submitted to when your viva came around? Because I know your viva was 1st of December 2011, so not that long ago, really.
No, it's not that long ago. So it was a couple of months. I mean, probably exactly 2 months, I suppose.
Yeah.
From submitting to Viva, yeah.
You mentioned just then that you were reading your thesis, but you were also reading papers by your external.
Yes.
Why was that?
Well, I wanted to... I'd already referenced some of my external's papers in my thesis, but I just wanted to try and understand the kind of questions or the kind of areas that I would be talking about in the viva, because you know you want to get a feel for their area of expertise, what kind of problems, trying to anticipate things that they would ask, basically based on what the research they'd done already. Yeah, that's the only reason, really.
Did you get any advice from other, you know, recent postdocs or your supervisor or anybody about what to expect from the viva or how to prepare? Or
Everyone has a slightly different advice, I think. I mean, but generally, most people say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, if people have any specific advice, they always kind of come along with, oh, you know, don't worry about it, you'll be fine, you already know it. Most people say to do what I actually did, you know, read through your thesis, check your papers, have a look at your externals papers, try and relax beforehand. Just don't worry about it, basically. That's what a lot of people said to me.
So, okay then, on the, I guess, the days leading up to it and on the day, how were you feeling? Were you feeling relaxed or were you...
Relaxed, yeah. The weekend before, so what day was it? Maybe a Thursday or something. It was during the week anyway. So the weekend before, I thought, you know what, I'm going to do a lot of reading, a lot of writing, a lot of covering different papers and stuff like that. And I didn't do that much at all, and I was feeling quite relaxed. I was okay, and even the night before, you know, I didn't feel that bad. But my viva was in the afternoon, and I remember very, very vividly the morning of my viva, and I was terrified, properly terrified,
right,
very, very nervous, you know. But it was, you know, it was okay when I went in there. You know, did a very good job of settling me down and getting me into the swing of it.
Yeah. So just before we talk about your viva and what happened in there, was there anything specific that you took with you into the viva other than your thesis?
No, it's just my thesis. I don't even think I'd made any notes in there.
Right, okay.
The impression that we weren't allowed to make notes. Some people had vivas where they they said, oh, you can't make notes in there. So I just didn't want to take any chances. I know that's certainly not the case for everyone, and most people do make notes in the thesis,
yeah.
which I think is fine, but it's just maybe some people in our department that had that experience, so I didn't want to have my thesis taken off me. I wanted to have that there so at least I could read what I'd written and things like that. So yeah, it was just the thesis and a pen just to mark it as we went through.
So how did your Viva start then? Did you have a presentation or anything to do?
No presentation. We just literally just went into a room and started chatting. It's kind of that was the most common format in our department, but I know a few departments within the university, yeah, they had to do presentations beforehand as well.
Yeah, I for example, I was asked to do one for mine. Yeah, I don't know how common it is. I know that maybe I can do some kind of survey or something to get that information.
It'd be interesting to know what disciplines do it as well, because I know, I'm in a biology department, but there's a few different biology departments within the university, and some of them do presentations, others don't. I don't know, I was trying to think how I would have been if I'd have had to give a presentation. Part of me thinks I would have been very, very nervous, but also it maybe helps you relax, because you can rehearse it, can't you? You can rehearse
the
presentation and maybe settle yourself in a little bit better. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know which would be better.
Yeah, it's definitely a case of there's pros and cons. Yeah. So what was the format of your Viva like then? Did you have lots of questions, or was it a discussion? How did it feel?
It felt like a mix, just to be honest. Yeah, there were lots of specific questions, and you know, probably maybe half the time then they were kind of asking me to elaborate on things and explain quite broadly and in depth as well about things that I'd done, making sure that I had a good understanding of everything basically. So it was all very much led by the external examiner kind of going through the thesis pretty much, I think, chapter by chapter. Yeah, it was chapter by chapter. So starting with the introduction, had a general introduction, going through that, and then going through each individual results chapter with the introduction to it, discussing the results discussion, going through everything page by page, asking specific questions, and then trying to make sure where they could that I understood the details of it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, did your internal ask you a lot of questions as well?
Not many at all. And they kind of set it out to me when we went in. The internal said, you know, your external's going to lead the Viva. I'm just here as a kind of mediator. And he did kind of chime in every now and again, but no, not very much at all. It was very led by the external examiner.
So did you find your Viva stressful while you were in there at all?
No, absolutely not. I mean, because I was so stressed beforehand that it was a relief to actually be there, because I don't know how I managed to work myself up like that. But yeah, being in there, it was the fact that I was actually doing it and I could do something about it. And you know, they're not horrible people, you know. They're not there to make you suffer, you know. They want to discuss it with you, and you know, they probably sensed at the start that I was feeling nervous, and they were very, very helpful, very good at, you know, kind of making sure that they kind of set, you know, asked me some nice questions, just chatted a little bit first, and it was actually a big relief to get started.
How long did the Viva last?
It was about 2.5 hours, I think.
Did it seem like it was taking that long?
It seemed like it was longer, actually. It seemed like we were in there for quite a long time.
Okay.
I was surprised, actually, how quickly it was. It seemed like we've been talking for a very, very long time, actually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's it's kind of a strange one, that, the whole... I mean, mine was 4 hours, but it felt like it went by very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's because because I was asked to do a presentation, and what happened was I was started giving my presentation, and then they started asking me questions during it.
Okay.
Like, I'm presenting, I'm stood there sort of giving a very, very background definition. And then they're like, well, whose definition is that? And is that exactly the definition you want to be giving, or do you want to talk about it this way or that way, or are there alternatives? And
right, okay, so they're really, digging into you from the start.
Yeah, and that was me for 4 hours then. I stood at the front of the room, in front of the blackboard, answering questions.
It wasn't very dynamic in that sense. I was just kind of sat there at the other end of the table. We were just kind of talking about the thesis. And I'm thinking back on it now, and it seemed like we were talking for a long time. I think that's, but yeah, it did kind of go quickly, because I remember now the, we had a break where we just kind of got a cup of tea or something like that. And I remember thinking that had been kind of an hour and a half or something, and that seemed like it has come quite quickly.
Yeah.
I think now, just looking back on it in hindsight, actually, it seemed like we were talking for ages. It's quite weird.
Yeah.
It's a strange feeling, really.
Yeah, definitely. How did you feel when it was finished? And did you get your results just after they'd had a discussion?
Yes. So they said, go outside, we'll just discuss this. And so I was still outside. I don't honestly know how long I was still outside for. That seemed like a very long time. But in reality, it was probably about 15 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was it's kind of more of a relief then to be outside of the room and just to be able to breathe and not necessarily be on your guard, kind of feel like you were being on your guard about things. And although it was a bit nerve-wracking to know that they were in the room there talking about it, I was still kind of relieved in the sense that I just didn't have to do anything at that point. Essentially that was it. I'd done everything that I could do and just had to wait. And realistically, it wasn't a long time, which was great, because, waiting for any longer couldn't have been good. I know a lot of people have to wait for much longer than that to find out the result.
Yeah.
Once I'd done that, I waited for that long, and they took me in and said, congratulations, you passed, here are your corrections, and that's it.
Brilliant. And so it was just a case of minor corrections? And
Yeah, exactly, just kind of typos and things like that, and just a few things, put in a few sentences here and there, and that was it. It was very, 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 very quick to do the corrections, actually. Quite lucky again in that sense.
Well, that's cool. And I believe you've just graduated officially in the last couple of weeks. So congratulations.
Yeah, that was on Tuesday.
Wow. So it's very recent then.
Yeah. So it's kind of a strange feeling graduating, because you finish, normally you finish quite a long time before you graduate. So it's kind of, and I've been working as a postdoc since then as well. So it's kind of bringing it all back up again.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about the postdoc then, because it's not in microbial ecology, is it?
Not at all, no. It's in electrical engineering that I work now, which does sound quite strange, quite a leap. But I'm still working with bacteria, so it's a project that involves using bacteria as kind of agents in this system that's been designed by someone else. And so what I'm doing now, I'm using my expertise in the field of microbiology to try and get this system to work using different types of bacteria, which is great, because it's a totally novel, from my perspective, a totally novel use for my skills as a microbiologist. I would never have imagined you could apply what I do to this kind of problem in electrical engineering. And it's great the diversity of things you can do, because you've got a research background, you've developed all the general skills, doing research, doing a PhD, but even the specific skills that you think are specific to a certain area, you'd be surprised what other areas you can actually apply those specific skills to and where they're needed.
That's really cool. And that's not the only thing you've been doing since you finished your PhD, because you've got your own website as well. In fact, maybe you started that before you finished your PhD, is that right?
I did. I mean, I started that as I was writing up. Well, kind of just after I started writing up.
Yeah.
So my website is all about how to do the literature review in general. But when I started writing, I was writing about the literature review for my thesis. And as I say, my PhD consisted of me being in the lab, analysing results, talking about the results, discussing the results, doing more experiments, developing methods, all this kind of thing. Obviously, I was reading literature, but what I was training to do in terms of thesis was do the methods, the results, the discussion. What I wasn't practicing, what I wasn't training to do was the lit review, and it came as quite a big shock. You know, I struggle with it a lot, so I thought, I've always been interested, you know, I'd read a lot of blogs, I'd always been interested in doing something like that, so I thought, well, why not start a blog about it and see where it goes?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a year and a half ago, I suppose, now I started that.
Wow. And so, what were your expectations when you started? Did you think it was going to become what it is now and what you've got planned for it in the future, or was it just a way of unpacking things for yourself?
No, I could never have imagined that it'd be as popular as it is now. What I hoped, I mean, at the very least, I hoped that by the end of me having finished my thesis, that I would have managed to also compile some kind of a resource for other people by my articles, kind of talking about the process, you know, discussing how I got through it, the mistakes I made, obstacles and all that kind of stuff. I envisioned that the blog at the end would be this kind of complete roadmap almost, or even if it wasn't all laid out in order, that all the information would be there for other people to read and see how to
yeah.
these obstacles. But, you know, I suppose as part of in my nature as a researcher, you know, I kind of like delving things as we all do, you know, and just kind of developed it, looked into it further, and just kind of taken it down the path it's gone down. And yeah, it's great, but no, I wouldn't have imagined like this.
And so just give us the link for that, please.
That's www.literaturereviewhq.com.
Great. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. But I'd really encourage people who are listening to go and check it out. It's a really, really good resource.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. No money has exchanged hands for these endorsements. So I think we're almost up to the end of the podcast, Ben. So I guess I've got two questions for you to finish off. Is that okay?
That's great. Absolutely great, yeah.
So first of all, what advice would you give to somebody who was starting their PhD now, or who was in the process of doing their PhD?
The biggest, in general, the biggest piece of advice I will give someone is to be organised. It might seem a bit of a strange one, and it might be because I'm naturally a little bit disorganised, but it just makes everything you do during the PhD so much easier. You know, from the writing perspective, if you manage to organise all your references as you go along, if you manage to be organised, organise your plans, organise your schedule, you know, if you're working in a lab, if you manage to organise your time, it's never really the focus of what you do. It was never the focus of what I did. You know, I was very focused on getting the results that I needed. But I think, you know, and I did get better at organising my time. I think you have to. But if maybe I focused on actually being organised and focusing on organisation as a real skill and asset to have, I think maybe, I don't know, my life would have been easier, or I would have got more done, or this, that and the other. I think being organised is one of the most important things you can do. And the other thing I think is that the reason I did the PhD in the first place was because I was really interested in the subject. I I really enjoyed learning about it, and I don't know that I would have been able to finish the PhD if that hadn't been there at the start, because it gets so tough. It does get very, very difficult. There just has to be something there that is able to carry you through the inevitable kind of tough times and the toughness of doing a PhD. And I think you have to have some kind of passion.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really good advice, Ben. Thanks. My final question for you is, what advice do you have for people who've got their Viva coming up? Are there any tips that you could give them, or is there anything you would recommend that they do?
This is a tough one, actually. I don't know that there's anything I could recommend for people to do. I mean, I think trying to relax as much as you possibly can is a positive thing. I mean, I always find that when I'm stressed out, you know, I don't perform very well, I don't think very well. So what I would do if I had it all again, I would really concentrate on trying to keep myself relaxed. You know, I'd always, you know, make sure that I kept a copy of my thesis close by and some papers printed out, so that if I felt a little bit anxious, I could just go and kind of put myself at ease. But, you know, just try and do whatever you can to relax, and that's going to be different for everybody, basically. I mean, I know some people would feel more relaxed by poring over their thesis day and night, making sure that they'd covered every detail, and help some people to kind of relax and be more comfortable about the Viva. Other people might prefer just not to look at it, which was, you know, I wasn't quite that far. I want to look at it every now and again, but I was quite happy to leave a lot of it and not get into it too much, and that helped me to relax, and I think that was important. You know, I know other people as well who have been on holiday just before their Viva, you know, and by all accounts they love that, which I imagine too. You know, I think it's important to try and relax yourself, because I think naturally it will get very tense and very stressful.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, thanks very much, Ben. That's been really great to hear about your research, your Viva, and what you're doing now. And thanks for your advice for people who are doing their PhD now.
No problem. Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be on, because I've listened to some of the episodes before, and I know from what I've heard there, it's going to be a great resource. So I'm just very, very happy to be a part of it. So thank you.
Yeah. And once again, no money has exchanged hands for these endorsements. Thanks, Ben.
No problem. See you soon.
That's it for this episode. Thanks again to Ben for contributing. Check out his website at www.literaturereviewhq.com. I'll be back soon with another episode of Viva Survivors. And if you have any questions about the Viva, comments about the podcast, or just want to get in touch, email me at podcast@viva-survivors.com. I'm Nathan Ryder. Thanks for listening.